Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. I feel like Brother Melvin has already given us a lot to think about and a lot to take home with us. And as he was talking about that relationship with God, that vertical relationship that each one of us this morning want to have with God, if we can't identify with that relationship that he was talking about, then you won't be able to identify with what I have to share this morning. I hope that relationship with God that each one of us need to have is in place in your life. As we think about serving the Lord, first of all, it starts in that relationship. Everything that goes out from our lives has to come from that vertical relationship with God. I too want to look at relationships this morning, and I've titled the message, Building Kingdom Relationships. But I want to talk a little more about a horizontal relationship. That relationship that comes from the relationship of God and man. The person that is serving God in an obedient way. That walk with Him that comes from the power directly given to us in our lives. It affects a horizontal relationship of you and I this morning as we work together as Christians. You know, there's a variety of age groups here this morning. I know we have the youth here for Bible school, and you have aspirations of building relationships with each other, a lot of people you don't know. And in the next several weeks, you're going to learn to know these people in a much better way than you know them now. And then there's people here today that they call this their home. Those of you who are sitting back here in the back of the church, you're working together. You already have established relationships with each other. You know each other. You understand each other. You call each other home folks. And you have a love and a respect for one another. So as we each think about our relationships with one another, let's remember that the only way to accomplish this the way God wants us to is if this vertical relationship that Brother Melvin was talking about is in place in our lives. So if we find our relationships this way is not in harmony with what the Bible calls for, then we need to take a close look at the relationship this way in our life. What is relationships? The dictionary definition says it's a state of affairs existing between those having relations or dealings. And I rephrase that a little bit. The feelings and facts that exist between two people who are relating together or know each other in some way. You can't have a relationship with someone if you don't know them. You have to, in some way, be connected with a person to have this relationship. And a relationship is not a tangible thing between two people. It's not like a rope tied between two objects. We can't feel it in a tangible way. We can feel it, but not. We can't see it. We can't grab a hold of it. We can't evaluate it here in front of us in a way that we could maybe some object. Rather, each one of us understands that relationship because of what comes from within our hearts. We can feel that relationship as we get to know someone. As we relate to them, the kind of relationship we have with them will dictate how we interact with them. So it's how we know the person that defines what kind of relationship we have with them. Relationships were created when man was created. God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet." God wanted man to have a relationship. And there's different kinds of relationships. Here, it's a husband and wife relationship. And then in the brotherhood, we have brotherhood relationships. But God wanted us to have good, solid relationships. As we relate to God, He wants it to affect us in a horizontal way with one another. The word relationship is not even found in the Bible. But the principles are all through the Bible of what a good relationship should be. And we have a lot of examples in the Bible of bad relationships, of poor relationships. Think about David and Jonathan. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 3 says, "Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul." A relationship of love and trust and respect. There was a friend. They were as brothers. Because of their relationship. So relationships in the brotherhood is a spiritual relationship. It's different than the relationship you might have in your business or in town with people around town in your local community. It's different than maybe someone that you meet at Walmart that's greeting you at the door every time you go to Walmart to go shopping. And it's different from your relationship you might have with your doctor or your accountant. Relationships in the brotherhood are built for the kingdom. They're built to serve the kingdom. They're built to help us and each one of us work together in achieving the goal of the Christian. You know, even in the church, as we relate to one another and as we build these relationships, there's more to our relationships than just church barbecues and social lives. It's more than just work days and sewing circles. Even though these things contribute to a relationship, there should be more to our relationships than just those things. So here at Bible School, as we form relationships, hopefully it will be more than a surface relationship. It'll be more than just a relationship of having fun together or winning games together. It'll be more than just getting along. We should be building relationships that will serve as a bulwark of trust and commitment to one another between soldiers of the cross. That's what a kingdom relationship should do. Kingdom relationships are centered on Jesus Christ and his teachings. And I think if I would ask each one of you today, what do you want for your relationships to your friends, those in your church, those in your brotherhood? I'm sure that you would tell me that is your aspiration. That is your goal. But can we make it real in our lives? So often we fall short of accomplishing what God would want us to accomplish through our relationships with one another. So as we think about the Christian relationship, a brotherhood relationship that is within the church or between Christians, it's a spiritual relationship, and it includes some attributes that I think we need to take note of this morning. One of them is accountability. If we're going to form kingdom relationships with one another, we're going to be accountable. There's going to be people accountable to us. We're going to be accountable. Automatically, if we're going to buy into the relationship that God has for us in the brotherhood, if we're going to invest our interest and our time and our lives in relationships, we need to be accountable. It's not going to work if we're not willing to be accountable. And with accountability comes responsibility. We're going to have to be responsible. That relationship is valuable. It's worth something. It's a gift that God has given to us. And he's also, with that, giving us a responsibility that we treat that relationship in the right way. And if we're going to have kingdom relationships that build for the kingdom, we're going to have common goals. We can't form spiritual relationships with people that we can't relate to their goals. We must have common goals with one another. And then as we relate and as we build those relationships, there's privileges that come along with that. But we can't have the privileges without being accountable, without being responsible. It's just not going to work. Many church problems start when these attributes start to fall out of our relationships with one another. When they no longer exist in the brotherhood, this accountability, responsibility, the goals that we work together to build. Spiritual relationships must include spiritual people. Brother Melvin already established that fact this morning. If we're going to have spiritual relationships, we must be spiritual. Spirit-led. People who are led by the Spirit, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, sensitive to the Word of God, willing to apply the teachings of Christ to our lives in a way that builds true and spiritual relationships. I want to think just for a minute about the situation in Acts 15. Sometimes we call it the Jerusalem Conference. Maybe we can call it the Jerusalem Knockdown. It was a time when people were coming together and they were upset because some people felt like the old law should be applied to the new church, to the New Testament church. We can turn to that in Acts chapter 15. I'm not going to read the whole account, but as this council came together at Jerusalem, and they were going to try to resolve this difference of viewpoints. And this difference of viewpoints caused a strain on spiritual relationships here with the leaders and with people who came together here in Acts chapter 15. Notice in verse 7, it says, "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." And this was after they had already been I don't know about arguing, but debating about what they should do. As some of them thought that we should apply the old law, and some of the churches were not practicing circumcision and things like that. And the apostles realized that this is not what God was calling for. And so they were here debating this. And finally, these men came together, and in the heat of the discussion, I think Peter started to think about this. You know, what did God tell us? What about this? And they started to look at things in a discerning way as brethren. Relationships were strained. People were upset. But probably each one of them had good intentions. Each one of them probably wanted the best for the churches. Seemed like there was a lot of talk and a lot of reasoning. But finally they came together centered on spiritual discernment. So they wrote this letter. Notice in Acts 15 here, verse 25. This is what the letter said. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. So they were sending this letter after they had concluded this discussion, and they had come together and said, it seemed good unto us with one accord. Now, isn't that a beautiful outworking of building kingdom relationships? You know, we're not always going to agree. We're not always going to come together automatically and see eye to eye in one accord. But we're going to have times like they had here in Jerusalem where we're not going to always agree in our relationships. But can we come together in one accord as we resolve these things in a spiritual way, as we seek God, can we come out where these brethren came out? That they came together in one accord and they wrote a letter that they all concluded and they all supported. It said it pleased the apostles, the elders, with the whole church. They all came together to support the conclusion, building kingdom relationships. Now let's look in verse 28. It says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." And I'm just pulling verses out of this account because I don't want to take time to read it. But I believe these men were seeking God. It said it seemed good unto the Holy Ghost. They were assured that the Spirit was working in their midst. And if the Holy Spirit can't work in our lives together, collectively, as a brotherhood, we're not going to be able to build kingdom relationships. I believe that's often what happens when people part ways in a way that is not godly because they haven't submitted themselves to the Holy Ghost. They haven't submitted themselves to one another to come and resolve situations the way God would have them to. And instead of building kingdom relationships, it tears down. I'm sure after this event that these men had a mutual respect for one another. I'm sure they went on to have other disagreements. But can we take a lesson from this and understand that when we have relationship problems within the brotherhood, when we don't see eye to eye, can we come together in a way that the Holy Spirit can work in our lives? It's a challenge for us this morning. So when we build spiritual relationships, it must be done in the Bible way. Spiritual people are spirit-led. When a problem arises in a relationship, sometimes we want to react. We want to act on our emotions or our feelings. And instead of seeking God to go before us in this problem, we're already establishing our position and where we want to stand in this problem. We already know what the other person has done wrong, and we know what we think about it. When we should be consulting God, we should be seeing what is good to the Holy Spirit. What is God trying to tell me in this situation? Instead of listening for the direction of God, we're well on our way to proving our point. You know, that's our reaction. Each one of us wants to establish our position in a way that looks legitimate. We don't like to be proven wrong. That's human nature. But can we submit ourselves to one another so that the good of our relationships can be built? Instead of having my way, can we look at it as we're building kingdom relationships? This is for my good as we blend and as we submit to one another. I want to think a little bit about building relationships or growing relationships, however you want to look at it. And I want to use a tangible example of a house. As we think about a house, a relationship, as we build relationships, we already talked about, it's not a tangible thing that we can see. But think about a house for a minute being a relationship. And we're going to go to this house for the first time. We've never been there before. And when we drive up to this house and we drive in the lane, what's the first thing we're going to notice? We're going to see how the house is built, maybe the color of the siding, maybe the color of the roof. We're going to see maybe some ferns hanging in the front porch there by the front door. Those are the things that we're going to notice the first time we drive up to this house. You know, meeting a person for the first time is like that. We notice their stature. Maybe we notice the color of their hair, or whether they're tall or short. And then maybe we take note that they have a quick smile. So as we come to this house the second time and the third time, we start to notice other details of the house. Maybe we notice that the foundation has a little bit of a curve in the wall by the front door. And we start to notice the flower beds and the shrubbery around the house. We see the black-eyed Susans growing across the front of the house. And we notice that there's a cactus growing beside the corner of the house. And we take note that that's a little odd, especially for Washington State, probably. You know, the more we're around a person, we start to not focus on so much whether they're tall or they're short, but we start to see other things in their lives. We learn about their personality. We see the color coming from within their life. Sometimes we notice that they're outgoing. And maybe even notice that since they're outgoing, sometimes they unintentionally intimidate people sometimes. Then as time goes by and we go to this house on a daily basis, we come to accept the outside appearance of the house. We no longer even notice what color the roof is. If somebody would ask us, we might not even be able to tell them. We don't think about the siding. We don't think about the curve in the foundation. And the cactus just fits right in with the black-eyed Susans. In fact, we focus so much on what comes from within the house that if the cactus wasn't there, we might even miss it. We start to think about more about this house of what is happening inside of the house. We think about the memories that are made there when we go to visit the people at the house, or the struggles that we've had in building relationships with these people. Those are the things we start to think about, our experiences that come from the activities within the house. You know, as we develop a relationship with someone, we no longer notice the outside appearance as much, but we start to focus on what comes from within the person, their character, their personality. We start to identify that person by those things rather than what's outside, what is on the outside. You know, we don't even think about their idiosyncrasies anymore or the limp in their walk, and we would probably miss it if it wasn't there. If we were to meet this person one day, and all of a sudden they didn't do the normal little things that they do, we'd miss it. Because we've come to identify that person with their personality traits and with the things they do, the flavors that come from their personality. It's on this level that we build brotherhood relationships. And it's on this level where the challenges come. You know, as long as we're focusing on somebody's hair color or if they're tall or short, we're not going to have a hard time getting along with that person. But it's when we start to relate to them from the things that come within them is when the challenges come. But it's also where the kingdom is built, from those things, from what comes within. So I want to look at some practical aspects of building and maintaining spiritual relationships. You can turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Here again, I'm not going to read this whole account. I'm just going to skip down through a couple verses. I'll start reading at verse 3. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Then it starts to talk about the gifts. We're going to skip down over that, because I want to focus on the attributes that are around the gifts of people in the church. Let's go down to verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Let's stop there. As we think about some attributes of kingdom relationships here, humility is of essence in kingdom relationships. If we're not willing to be humble, then we're not going to be able to build kingdom relationships. None of us enjoy relating to a proud person. And if we want people to be willing to build good, solid relationships with us, we must be willing to be humble, to show humility in our life, in our responses, in our actions, in our reactions, that we're humble, that we show humility. There's a quote here on humility. It says, "Humility is strong, not bold, quiet, not speechless, sure, not arrogant." Humility is not a weakness. Rather, it's an active strength in building relationships. As we exercise humility, it's actually a building ingredient as we build relationships. Verse 5 says, "One body in Christ. Everyone members one of another." Relationship. As we are one together in Christ, that molds us into a common faith and a common relationship with common goals. You know, relationship is spelled out in this passage. As we think about relating together in love, here it says a sincere, godly love, kindly affection. I think we could define kindly affection like this: a kind disposition, a kind tendency in our disposition as we relate to one another. Not just one kind act to somebody today and then I have off for the rest of the day, but it's a tendency to being kind, to showing kindness, to have a disposition of kindness, where we're wearing kindness instead of just doing our 1, 2, 3 act of kindness and then we take a break. If we're really truly into building kingdom relationships, we're going to have a disposition, a personality that is submitted to God so we can show this kindness and love to one another. Most of us have been taught these principles from little up, but we still find it hard sometimes to implement them in our relationships. In building relationships, it takes openness to maintain relationships. Brother Melvin touched on that already this morning. We must be open to God, and then we have to be open to our brethren. We need to be open to those we have relationships with. Mature Christians who we relate to, if they have something for us in our lives, are we open to it? Are we willing to receive it, to evaluate it, to apply it to our lives? Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." You know, none of us have it all figured out. We're all learning. We're all going to continue to learn. Can we allow our relationships to help us in this learning pattern of finding out what God has for us? As we mature in our Christian lives, it'll be so much easier if we allow others to give input into our lives, to help us sharpen that relationship with God and with one another. Proverbs 27, verse 9 says, "Ointment and perfume rejoices the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel." Work to be the kind of person that make other people feel like coming to us and sharing with us. You know, it calls for us to take an interest in other people's lives. If all we want to talk about in our conversation, in our relationships, is what I'm doing or what interests me, it's going to turn people away from us. It's going to cut us off from relationships that are rewarding, that God would have for us, because we're not taking an interest in other people's lives. You know, we need to be pliable. If we're going to be able to relate and build relationships with a lot of different people, we're going to have to be pliable. Not breakable, just bendable. We're going to have to be able to allow other people's personalities to relate to us. And maybe sometimes we have to give and take a little bit to allow that person to be effective in working in our life, for us to be effective in their life. You know, I'm not talking about compromising on principle. I'm just talking about being a willing agent for God to work and to help others in their lives. Take an interest in other people's lives. Think about it. If you would go to the parts store to buy some oil for your car, and you would walk into the parts store and you'd go over to the shelf and you'd pull off a gallon jug of oil. Now we know that oil is made, it's a lubricating agent. It's a cooling agent, and it's made to be in an engine, right? But it's right now it's in a jug. And so this oil is poured into this gallon jug, and so it's the shape of this jug. It fills that jug up, and it's exactly the form of that jug. Now, what would happen if you would take that jug of oil out to your car, and you wanted to put this oil in your car, and this oil refused to get out of the shape of this jug? It says, "No, this is my shape. This is the way I'm going to be. This is me, and I'm not going to change. Would you dump that oil into the block, to the engine block of your car? Probably none of us would. We'd throw it on the trash pile. If it's not willing to pour into our engine and conform itself to the reservoir in that engine and to circulate through our engine and do its job, it's not of much use to us, is it? You know, that's the way it is as we relate to each other. That jug of oil has the same capability in the engine in a different shape as it does in the jug. It hasn't lost its identity. It's still oil. What about us today? Are we scared to be flexible? Are we scared to work with people that take us out of our comfort zone because somehow it changes us out of the shape of a gallon jug? Or are we willing to conform? Are we willing to allow God to lead us in our relationships? And if God is calling for us to exercise humility or exercise extra energy to get along with someone, are we willing to do that? If we're going to be effective, we must be willing to change our shape and still maintain our principle. We don't lose our identity by allowing God to mold us and to change us as He wants us to through our relationships. Sometimes, you know, we're tempted to feel like the way I grew up is the way we should do things. So if your family did things different, it's just not quite right. You know, this is the way we're supposed to do it. How many relationships is that going to help in our lives? And if we have that kind of attitude, we're going to rebuff people and their input in our lives. But can we be open to one another, understanding that we're all different and that we need to be willing to take in other people's thoughts, other people's ways, and make them practical in our lives if that's what needs to be done? I want to look a little bit at some hindrances to building spiritual relationships. Criticism without suggestions on how to improve. You know, we're all pretty good at criticizing, but a lot of times if we stop and think about it, we like to criticize, but then we don't want to give any helpful advice on what to do different. We can shoot holes through anything if we decide to, but I don't think criticism alone builds relationships. But if we can have a good relationship with someone and we feel like there's something in their life that maybe should change, if we have a heart for that person, if we really want to build relationships, we're going to go to that person and we're going to give helpful advice, maybe instead of criticism. Maybe criticism is not the right word. We're going to make sure that that person understands that we want to help them. We're not just here to criticize. But oftentimes when relationships break down, we like to thump criticism, but we don't have advice on what to do better. I believe that tears down relationships. If we're going to criticize, if we're going to give some type of criticism, let's make sure it's in the right way, and let's make sure we have something to offer that's better. Criticism can come from selfish motives. Maybe we think we want the betterment of that person, when really, maybe it stems from jealousy. Or maybe there's something about that person that just irks us, and we don't really want to change out of the shape of our jug, and so we criticize. That's going to tear down relationships. Pietism, an emphasis on ourselves having a special connection with God more than others. Somehow I'm better because I have this and you don't. That's going to tear down relationships. It's not spiritual. That comes from a carnal heart. And we need to be open to God as we consider our lives and our walk with Him. Others have a walk with Him as well. Are we going to be respectful? You know, if we're going to use some kind of a strong point in our life as a way to thump others, then God cannot bless that approach. Proclaim spirituality that intimidates others and puts ourselves in control is carnal. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Spiritual relationships make us a team, not individuals. God wants team workers, not heroes. He wants people who are willing to blend together, to work together, to build the kingdom. You know, if we find ourselves standing outside here because we just have goals and aspirations that our brotherhood just doesn't identify with, we need to take another look at our heart. We need to look and see what is motivating us standing out here and not joining the team. If we can't join in and blend together, with one another, if we can't allow our contribution to blend in with the flow, if we think it needs to stand out, then we have a heart problem. It's not our brother's problem. We need to take a look at ourselves and that vertical relationship with God. Bitterness is a hindrance to building and maintaining relationships. Bitterness can take root in our lives, and it will cut off relationships with other spiritual people unless we allow them to help us through it. Hebrews 12, verse 15 says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Here it was talking about a root of bitterness can take root in my life, and many be defiled. That root of bitterness can affect many people's lives. If I'm not willing to allow God and my brethren to help me with that, that is going to reach out and affect my relationships and affect other people in a negative way. Now I want to think a little bit about communication. Communication is essential to building spiritual relationships. Constructive communication, an exchange of information, the process in which information is reciprocated between individuals. And there's a lot of different ways to communicate, but I'm only going to think about verbal communication this morning. Good communication. Think about the Tower of Babel. These people were all around there. They were determined to build this big tower. They had a goal. They had talked about it. They all spoke the same language, and they were going at it to build this tower. God looked down there, and he said, "I don't want that to happen. I see that's not going to be good." What did he do? He went down there, and he changed the languages so they could no longer communicate. God knew how important communication was to working together. And when he cut that communication off, the whole thing dissolved. They all parted ways, and they went different places to live because they couldn't communicate. Good communication is what we need to have as we work together. God wants us as Christians to have good communication to solidify our relationships with him and with each other. When we have good communication, we think about talking. But actually, probably it takes more effort to listen in good communication than it does to talk for most of us. Good communication. Seek first to understand and then to be understood. Be a good listener. Oftentimes, I want to make sure my point is made before I'm willing to listen. That's not good communication. We need to be willing to listen first and make sure we understand and then attempt to be understood. Be a patient listener. Don't rush to a conclusion before the person is done talking. In critical communication, I think it's good to rephrase what we hear from our brother to make sure we understand the intent of what they are trying to say. You know, they say the words, but there's an intent behind those words. And unless we understand the intention of those words, we're not going to communicate well. We should value our relationships enough to aggressively protect them as something that is rare and beautiful in our lives. If our relationships don't mean much to us, we're not going to keep them. If they really mean a lot to us, we're going to go out of our way to maintain good kingdom relationships in our lives. You know, if we never approach someone about a misunderstanding and everybody always has to come to us, we're not doing our part in maintaining relationships. Communicate our concerns to people in the right way. Go to the person that's involved and not to others about a problem. We can go to Matthew 18. We're not going to do that this morning. As we consider communicating about problems, resolving problems in our lives between each other, let's make sure that we communicate to the person that the problem is with and not to all the neighbors. It's so much easier to go here and talk to neighbor one and neighbor two instead of going and talking to the person that I have a problem with. It's a common fault with all of us, and it's something we need to stay aware of. As we build relationships, we need to respect relationship boundaries. For example, in our relationships with the opposite gender, we need to be careful that we respect the boundaries that God has set up between the opposite gender. If we cross those boundaries and become too loose, we will lose things that we probably never will gain in that relationship, we won't gain back what it should be because we've crossed those boundaries. There's boundaries in every relationship. As we relate as brethren and as sisters in the church, there's boundaries in those relationships. God has set up boundaries. We need to be sensitive to those things. You know, as we think about relationships are a lot of work. And that's probably sometimes why we kind of want to sit back and relax a little bit when things need to be done, because it's a constant thing. You know, airplanes, I've always wanted to fly an airplane, and I still don't. But as we think about airplanes, airplanes cost a lot, and they take a lot of maintenance. That's probably why a lot of us don't fly airplanes. Relationships are the same way. As we consider relationships, it's going to cost us something if we want to have good relationships, and it takes maintenance. We can't build a relationship as a trophy and then freeze it in place and haul it over to the mantle and set it up, and it just stays there beautifully for the next couple of years. That's not the way it works. It takes maintenance, and it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us in time. It's going to cost us our independence. It will cost us in submission, and it may even cost us money. But the church can't survive without relationships. If the church of Jesus Christ is going to move on in the future in an effective way, we must build kingdom relationships. In conclusion, what is the highest calling of brotherhood relationships? I believe it's to work together to become more like Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 13 says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Lord bless each one of you.